Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is a holiday fire safety. Stafford Fire and Rescue in this morning. Katie Brady and Ben Goldman are back with us this morning. Good morning to both of you. Good to have you here.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
It is always good information to get out and to talk about the holidays. That one right there. These behind-the-scenes things that we didn't do beforehand. Good to have you guys here just because we deal with these kinds of things all the time. General holiday fire safety. Things that we don't think about, but boy, Katie, this is the time of year you really kind of have to hone in on this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like we were just talking about, Thanksgiving's 2 weeks from today, and then Christmas and holidays are right after that. So we're in the holiday stretch for the year, and there's a lot of fire safety and just overall safety in general we see this time of year that we definitely push that messaging.
Well, and Ben, it's so easy just to kind of get lax. You get involved with the holidays, you don't think of things, and all of a sudden candles get left out too long, or you know, you name it, all the things we'll talk about today.
You're so busy you forget that you have things, you forget you have the stove on, you forget you have your candles going. Yes. Very busy.
One of the things, Katie, and you pointed this out a few years ago, and I had never thought of it. I had never thought about when you have company. One of the first things you should do is make sure your company knows how to get out just in case. They're going to be in a strange house.
Absolutely, yeah. If you're having company over for the holidays this year, it may seem like a goofy thing to do, but as you're showing them where they're going to be staying, getting them settled, make sure they have all the pillows and towels and everything they need. Just remind them of what they would do in an emergency. We've definitely run fires this time of year where, you know, maybe normally it's a family of four there and all of a sudden there's eight people staying in that house. And if you're not familiar, emergencies don't wait for people to figure it out in the middle of the emergency. So have that conversation. Hey, this is where our meeting spot is, because trying to get a head count on eight people versus four people can be pretty chaotic in a fire situation. So just having that quick, hey, here's where we go in an emergency. Here's the best way out of this room for you. No one ever expects it to happen to them, but it can really pay dividends if that were to happen.
I'd never thought of that, but boy, and like you say, it is kind of weird, but it's worth having that conversation to just say, here are a couple of ways you can get out just in case. You know, like you say, and here's where we meet, because when fire and rescue comes, you want to be able to say there were this many people in the house and all the kinds of things that when you go to a fire, you're going to be asking.
Certainly. And it, you know, having company spend the night at your house during the holidays kind of correlates when we see some of our statistically bigger fire days during the years, during the winter and especially around the holidays because of some other things that we'll talk about. So, you know, having that conversation ahead of time can definitely be beneficial if that were to happen.
Boy, I would think that any time of year, having to go to a fire and deal with things, but boy, during the holidays has got to be really tough when you're dealing with things. And so often it is carelessness this time of year.
Yeah, people are just out of their normal routines. You know, you have more people, you're cooking more in the kitchen maybe, you have more people running around, you can get easily distracted. Or you've plugged so many holiday decorations in, we run into some electrical issues, people not watering their Christmas trees, all things I'm sure we're going to dive into, but that's where we see a lot of those issues. And then when it gets really, really cold, the space heaters and people using different alternative means to heat their homes. We can also see fires from that as well. And not just their homes, but heating their chicken coops and their barns for their livestock. We saw a number of fires last year related to that, people trying to keep their animals warm outside, understandably, but then those heat lamps falling over and causing some fires.
Interesting, because so many, I know just in my own neighborhood, so many people do have chickens and those kinds of things now. So, Got to think of these things. Stay alert at all times. We got plenty to talk about. Quick break. We'll get going with Stafford Fire and Rescue and Holiday Fire Safety with Katie and Ben on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can listen to Town Talk anytime, day or night. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Ben Goldman and Kenny Brady from Stafford Fire and Rescue in this morning as we talk about staying safe for the holidays. I guess when we talk about, Christmas trees, the holidays, whether it's candles or Christmas trees or whatever, there are just, you are bringing a whole lot of things into the house that all of a sudden, Ben, become fire hazards that you're not having to deal with other times of the year.
Yes, sir. The like you just said, the candles, the Christmas tree, the extra cooking, even like trending now is this non-traditional holiday or non-traditional Thanksgiving food.
Yeah,
you know people will be grilling. There's a lot of moving parts that's normally not happening a lot at your house, and you can just get complacent. And forget about your grill being too close to your house because you thought you were done with your grill for the season.
Right.
And you've stored it, and you might store it next to your house, and then, I'm going to just cook my Thanksgiving dinner, part of my Thanksgiving dinner on my grill, and forget to move it away from your house. Things like that, and accidents happen, and it could cause some damage. Candles, you're lighting candles throughout your house and you forget to put them out or you're not attending to them. We always ask that you not burn candles in a room that you're not in. We want you to be in the same room that you're burning candles in. If you're going to burn a candle, you should be in the same room that this candle's burning in. That way you're there, you can see it, you can watch it. If something happens, you can catch it early. And if you walk out of the room, just put the candle out. You can always relight it when you come back.
Or get electric candles or something.
Or get electric candles.
Or something like that. Because I just think so many times you hear about fires and somebody has fallen asleep and then they leave the room, they leave the candle, and then
after you eat all that turkey and you get tired and you fall asleep on the couch and you forget to blow your candle out.
Yeah. So, but candles are, they really are a problem.
Yeah, and you want to make sure your candle's on a sturdy surface.
Yeah.
Because if they fall over as they melt down, if you have kids or pets that can get to them and knock them over, we've had fires caused by that too, or kids playing with candles. And then also around Christmas, a lot of people like to do like the nice candle and a wreath that's extremely flammable. So you want to make sure you're keeping candles away from things that can burn. Make sure it's in a sturdy container somewhere that kids and pets can't get to it and that it's not around things that can burn.
Kind of look, always, I guess, keep an eye on things and analyze, is this something, this might look nice, like you say, Katie, but do we really want to take the chance?
Mm-hmm. There's like two places in my house I let candles be.
Where would I, like a kitchen table or something like that?
I will put it up on my mantle away from everything else.
Oh, that's
it's by
a good
brick.
Idea. Yeah.
Because no one can reach it up there.
Yeah. That's a good idea. That's a good idea of just limit if you're going to have candles because they are nice.
Zero.
That's me.
Zero candles.
That's me. When you talk about.
We have candle warmers so you get that fragrance of the. Of the candle burning.
Yeah, there are things you can do to get around it.
But yeah, we don't burn candles in the house.
When you were talking about the grill close to the house, it reminds me of, and it's both Thanksgiving and Christmas, the frying of a turkey. Boy, it's good. But boy, you better know what you're doing and do it away from your house and your deck and all of those things.
Do it in the middle of the driveway, somewhere away from the house. I know a couple years ago we did a demonstration with the turkey.
I was there
in the fryer, and it can go bad very quickly if you don't do it the correct way. You know, you got to thaw that turkey out. It can't be frozen. Mm-hmm. It's got to be thawed. It's got to be dry. You don't want your temperature too high in your in the pan, and also the level of the oil in the pan, it makes a big difference too.
And you don't want to crank that oil to as hot as you don't want.
Yeah, the temperature of the oil needs to be whatever the recommended temperature is to fry that turkey.
So I knew all of that. I saw your demonstration. It was terrifying. And still, I've done it several times. Everything turned out well, but when I went to put the turkey in, I did it too quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. If you drop it down in there too quickly, that cold turkey and the grease is what makes that.
Yeah.
The mixture there is creating the grease to build up and boil over, and then once it boils over, the flame underneath of it lights the grease on fire, and now we have a fire.
So you got to lower it slowly.
Lower it slowly down in there, and then step back and watch.
Because it is good, but boy, that's the one thing. And like you say, do it in the middle of the driveway. Do it away from things, because it can happen so quickly.
Well, yes, definitely put it away from everything, because if you're doing it inside your house or inside your garage, once the fire starts, we know the fire is harder. It's harder to put the fire out, right? It could spread to the rest of your house. That's why we just recommend you do it outside in an area away from everything.
And it's really, I want to go back to the point about thawing your turkey out. It takes about 24 hours for every 4 to 5 pounds of turkey to thaw it out. So if you're thinking you're going to get up, if you have, a 15, 20 pound bird, and you think you're going to get up that morning and just leave it out and then deep fry it later that day. It's a process you've got to start planning out probably 4 or 5 days in advance, depending on the size of the turkey that you're frying in, whatever other way you may be cooking it. If you need to be thawing that turkey out, it does take some time. This isn't just like you leave some chicken out on the counter and think it's going to thaw by dinner time.
Yeah. Again, plan, and know how to do it. Especially, the first time I did it, I read and reread all the instructions, because, like you say, just thawing it or putting it in, there are a lot of steps to it. And if you've never done it before and you're not aware of that, you don't want to lose control really quickly.
Right, and follow those steps. Like, you don't want to skip through the steps and do step one and then step four and then come back to step two. It's just not going to work. It's not going to end well.
And that's where YouTube videos do help. Watch that kind of thing, and watch those things that a lot of fire departments will post, those kinds of things, mm-hmm. to help you out and let you see how scary it can become with that oil and the in the cooking like that.
Yes. YouTube is good for some things, and that's one of the things it's good for.
Yeah, it's very much so. So speaking of cooking, grease fires are an interesting thing because you deal with grease fires differently than you do other kinds of fires.
Yes. So we don't recommend putting water on your grease fire. We recommend, if it's in a pot, just cover the pot. Leave the pot on the stove. We don't want you carrying the pot through the house or over to the sink to put more water on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just cover it. If that doesn't put it out, they make you should have a fire extinguisher inside your kitchen. You can always use your fire extinguisher to extinguish the fire. Also, turn the stove off. So just doing those couple things, just turn the stove off. You're removing the heat, you're putting the top on top of the pan, you're smothering, you're removing the oxygen from being able to get to that oil in the fire. Most of the time, the fire goes out. If it doesn't, use your fire extinguisher and extinguish your fire.
And make sure your fire extinguisher is...
Definitely don't put water on it. Water just...
Water's the thing, yeah.
If you put water on it, it makes it flare up and makes it grow larger than what it is.
I guess have the fire extinguisher in a good place and make sure it's charged up and ready to go. It's not something that you bought 10 years ago and it's somewhere in a cabinet and you don't know where it's at.
And make sure you feel comfortable using your fire extinguisher. Hmm. And that fight or flight, feeling, if you have a fire in front of you, there's a third one, it's freeze. And if you're just going to freeze and not know what to do, certainly get outside and call 911. But if you don't feel comfortable using your fire extinguisher, have a different plan. And fire extinguishers are a one and done deal. It's not like you can use it a little bit and then put it back in the cabinet. It's got to be repressurized after that use, and make sure it's good to go for the next time.
How big is there a recommended size? Because I've seen them kind of small.
They're small.
Yeah.
Household ones.
Yes. Yeah.
Household or residential. Residential fire extinguishers are pretty small.
But that's a good point to know how it works, or feel comfortable with it, because if you've never used one before and all of a sudden you use it, it has a little bit, it's got some pressure behind it if you're not aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's probably going to ruin the rest of your food too if you have food around it.
Yeah, I think that
we're
gonna
have a bad day.
That's there'll have to be a plan B for what you're going to eat, but at least you'll put the fire out.
This is when you get the family and you go to one of the local restaurants.
That's right. That's exactly it. There are things to do.
A Christmas story. Yeah.
But have a fire extinguisher. A lot of people don't.
Yeah,
I know.
A lot of people do not have fire extinguishers, and they're cheap.
Yeah.
Go to a big box store, buy yourself a little residential fire extinguisher, and put it in your cabinet underneath your sink, near your stove.
But not under your stove.
Yeah, not under your stove. Like,
no.
Like under the cabinet in your sink.
Because you got to be able to get to it.
You got to get to it, right.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
You don't want to reach into near your stove.
If it's on fire.
If it's on fire, you want to reach away from your stove to grab something, to grab your fire extinguisher.
And this isn't a holiday thing necessarily, but you'll see people who next to their stove or even on their stove will have papers or towels or things. There are things that should be a far, far away. That's what you have an island for, away from everything, or drawers.
Drawers, don't. You shouldn't be storing any kind of combustible materials near your stove, where you're producing a lot of heat in a confined space or a limited area space.
Stoves are for pots and pans only.
Pots and pans only.
And turn your handles in. Don't have them, not be hanging over the edge because you have curious kids that walk by, or if you have a crowded kitchen because if you have a lot of company over, people could, their shirt or their belt loop or something could get caught on a pot handle that's hanging over the edge,
or the little kid could reach up and grab it
and pull stuff on top of themselves. So with, I guess, going with that crowded kitchen, encourage people to gather elsewhere. I know people like to kind of gather where the food's being made, but when that kitchen gets crowded, that's when we have accidents happen. If you have people bringing over different dishes, kind of like potluck style, it's not unheard of for people to set something down halfway on the stove. And, now that, paper container has heat and is catching on fire, or they set something down and they open the aluminum foil on top of a candle that's lit.
Mm-hmm.
And so countertops get really, really crowded. So that goes back to having those candles only in good designated places away from things
away.
That can burn. Keeping that kitchen kind of clear of distractions. You've had people, you're trying to slice and dice really quickly to get enough food on the table. And people, you can accidentally cut yourself with a knife if you're distracted because you're trying to cook really quickly and entertain people. Designate somewhere else besides the kitchen as the entertainment spot, so that you can focus on what you're doing, because cooking safety is just as important at Thanksgiving and the holidays as it is any other day of the year.
Yeah, you just think of a busy kitchen, you think of kids running around, or even animals.
Kids, dogs, you get that counter surfing dog that just hops up and hits one of those pots on the stove. Like if it's hot enough, it could burn the dog. Could fall on a kid, or your child would reach up and grab that pot and pull it off on them. They get burned. Number of things could happen.
The other thing is, and oftentimes when you have a lot of food and you have a lot of people and you're all gathering and something burns a little bit and the smoke detector goes off and you take the battery out because it's bothering you, let's turn that thing off. Not a good idea, just because if you forget to put it back in, all of a sudden there's that.
So yeah, you're cooking and the smoke detector goes off, like you said, and you pull the battery out. You're gonna forget to put that smoke detector battery back in.
Absolutely.
You're already busy enough to cause smoke in your house because you forgot to stir the beans or the whatever, the stuffing was left in the oven too long and you've created enough smoke to set your smoke detector off because you're busy. You're not paying attention, and I can guarantee you, you're going to forget to put the battery back in the smoke detector.
Yeah.
And the next time you go to need it, it's not going to work for you. So definitely just leave the smoke detector batteries in.
I wished I had counted the times we have said this morning, not paying attention. And that's what this all is about the today. Mm-hmm. And that that's really the is the theme.
Yeah. I mean, no one ever expects a fire to happen. We don't ever go to a fire and someone say, yep, I knew this was going to happen today. So take those precautions. It may seem really goofy, but take those precautions so that we don't show up at your Thanksgiving dinner uninvited. People get distracted during the holiday seasons. We're out of our routine.
Yeah.
We have probably way more people over for dinner than we usually do. So just trying to have a plan, trying to avoid those distractions. And some of them are pretty simple fixes, encouraging people to gather elsewhere, keeping track of what's cooking, what burners are on. Chances are you're probably using more than one burner,
mm-hmm.
keeping track of what's on, what's not. Keeping kids, pets, other people who are not helping with cooking out of the kitchen so that those things aren't being bumped can really go a long way in preventing some of those accidents.
And when you talk about the burners, when you are done, make sure you turn them off.
Yes.
Because
make sure you turn the oven off.
And yeah, all of that, because you can, all of these you can forget. And again, not paying attention. It's all of that. And I like both of you a lot, but I don't want to see you on Thanksgiving or Christmas. I just do not. If I see you, then there's something very bad has happened.
Someone's not having a great day.
Somebody's not having a good day.
Yeah. So good stuff this morning. Take a quick break and continue along. Ben Goldman's deputy fire chief in Stafford County. Katie Brady's the public information officer with Stafford Fire and Rescue. Really good stuff. And we will continue on. We haven't even talked about the Christmas tree yet and all the we've just talked about the kitchen, and I'm already nervous about everything, and we haven't even gotten to a Christmas tree yet. We'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's just about 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Ben Goldman, Katie Brady here this morning from Stafford Fire and Rescue as we talk about holiday safety. Christmas trees, it's hard to know where to start with Christmas trees. A lot of people have Christmas trees up right now. All at this point artificial, I guess, because it's too soon for real trees. But even with artificial trees, Katie, you got to be careful because things get hot.
Yeah, you got to give those lights a break. If you're not there to enjoy the tree, you don't always have to keep the lights on.
Yeah.
But if you have, lights are still a source of heat, and that can still be a source of fire, even if it's not necessarily a real tree, but the fake little needles on your tree and ornaments can still be combustibles if the tree gets hot enough. So just making sure that you're giving those lights a break. They don't need to be on 24/7. And then also along those same lines, if you're plugging extra lights in, not just from your tree, but just extra Christmas lights. I know I had family members that used to do the little ceramic village, and
yes,
it was just a matter of stringing and piggybacking all those lights together. You've got to give those a break. That's pulling a lot more power. When you're pulling that power, that can lead to shortages and a short in the electric. And, just making sure you're giving those a break as well. And then, like anything, when you're pulling your tree out, when you're even if it's a pre-lit, artificial tree, give the wires a once over as you're setting it up. If you're noticing any fraying, any singeing or damage,
mm-hmm.
You need to replace that before you plug it in.
And I guess if you notice that things are hot, unusually hot, take some
precautions.
Use some common sense.
Either don't use it or get it repaired, right? If it's go walk by the Christmas tree and shake the limbs, when you plug it in, when you first plug it in, if the lights go off, you have a short somewhere. You have a break in that wire. It's going to create resistance, which creates heat and could result in a fire. Or don't use it. Like, I recommend don't use it. If it's not working properly, it's not good to use.
Things get old. Yeah, that's
things get old.
Things get old.
Wear and tear.
And if you're storing them in a, you know, the way you store them, if you've got them folded kind of in a weird way, or if you're at, like, my house and it's just all balled up, and it's just like an exercise in getting them undone every year, you know, wires can get bent in weird ways. And then keep in mind, like, especially if you're storing it in, like, a shed or something that's not climate controlled, it's been exposed to all the heat all summer, potentially some cold, you know, depending on when you took your decorations down last year. So when you have it exposed to all those temperature changes too, things break down after a while, just like anything else. So especially with those lights you're putting up, whether it's a pre-lit tree, whether it's lights for a real tree or lights to go inside or outside your house, just as you're putting them up, pay attention and give things a good once over as you're putting them up. And, you know, it may need to be repaired, taken out of service, replaced, but you don't want to be putting up frayed or damaged lights.
And I guess that's even doubly important if you're a person who's left your lights out all year, and especially if they're not meant to be, like you say, with the changing temperatures, at least go over and make sure that all the connections and everything looks like it's in good shape.
Yeah, again, if you don't, you need to check and make sure this, so you're not creating that resistance in the electricity that are powering it, because it creates heat and it's a failure point.
I just think years ago, because I can remember as a kid going to my grandparents' house and they had a real tree, and the lights were so hot. And that kind of thing has changed, and that's why. And if you do have old lights, they might be, there might be some nostalgia with them, but they may not be safe anymore.
Yeah, so especially if you're buying new lights, replacing lights, you want to look and make sure either on the box or there's a tag on the lights that it has some sort of fire safety rating.
Yeah.
To make sure that it's been third-party tested. And then also lights, some lights are only indoor, some lights are only outdoor, some are indoor-outdoor, so you don't want to be putting indoor lights outside, because they haven't really been created for that purpose. You want to make sure you're using those lights for the purpose for which they've been created, and that they're going to be able to withstand some weather, things like that. But regardless, inside or outside, you want to be making sure that they're not damaged, and that they do, yes, there can be some nostalgia with older lights, but the way that technology and testing has come, you want to make sure it's usually like a holographic little tag that indicates it's been fire safety tested.
And I guess LED lights would be...
LED lights get hot also.
Okay.
They can get hot also. Not as quickly as the incandescent lights that the older lights used, but yes, the LED lights will get hot also.
That's good to know, not to just to assume, well, this is something,
this is new, it's LED, it's fine. Yes, no, they can get hot also.
Well, and it is nice to get up in the morning to have the tree on this time of year in the dark, but it's like everything, if you're not around it, you just mentioned that, Kate. If you're not around it, you know, what's the point in having it up? You're just creating another situation that could become a situation.
Well, and if something were to happen, even if you've taken every precaution, things can still happen. If you're there with the tree, you're going to see it when it's small and probably still relatively fixable, maybe a little bit of damage. If you're not there, then by the time you notice or you see, or someone else sees that damage, and it's gotten a lot bigger than if you were there and were able to see it initially.
Well, we talked the last time we got together of just how when a house fire does start, how quickly the time that you guys talked about the last time was just astounding, at how if you've got a newer house, how quickly it can go up.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
So don't just keep that in mind. It's real trees. This has been an issue as long as time goes back, as far as keeping your tree watered.
Yes, keep your tree watered. If you notice the limbs or the needles are starting to turn brown, and you've kept it watered, still it's time to get rid of the tree. Once the needles turn brown, you're not getting the green needles back, right? You need to just, yes, keep water in the dish on the bottom of the tree.
So Ben, if I've gotten my tree maybe even a little bit earlier this year, my real Christmas tree, and I want to make sure it makes it to Christmas, do I by giving it a lot of water from the get go? Will that help?
That will prolong the life of the tree. Yes, sir.
Okay.
It will prolong the life of the tree. I don't recommend getting a live Christmas tree this early, though.
No, this would be really early.
This would be very early.
Even
watering it.
Especially if you're not great at keeping plants alive like me. Yeah. We had a Christmas tree one year that the bottom, we didn't cut it properly. I'll tell on myself. And kind of the sap almost sealed it off. And by Christmas, the top third of the tree was brown. Yeah, wouldn't recommend that. So make sure you're getting that extra disc sliced off, so that the tree can actually absorb the water, and just sit there.
Interesting. See, I've only a few times have had a real Christmas tree, so that is important to take note of that, I guess.
Yes. Make sure that it's actually absorbing the water and not just sitting in water.
That'd be a great picture, though, the brown Christmas tree at the top, and just to say, you don't want this.
You don't, no. It doesn't look pretty, and you don't really want to turn the lights on.
No.
And the needles go everywhere.
Yeah. I guess the other thing, too, as far as keeping the water, you might have every good intention of keeping the water, because a couple of the times that we did have a real Christmas tree, and we had a dog, and the dog would drink the water.
Oh.
Would go in and get the water, and so it would be dry, and it would be like, oh, but I just watered it.
I just watered the tree, yes.
So you got to keep that in mind.
That's one more thing to add to your busy schedule, is to maintain the water level for your tree.
But it is doubly important. We talk about how an artificial tree can get hot. Boy, if you do have a real tree.
The lights could get hot enough, too. And yeah. Once it dries out, the lights could get hot enough to create a fire. Yes.
And you talk about scary pictures, the pictures that you see of a Christmas tree catching on fire.
It's like a blowtorch.
It's
yes.
15 seconds, 20 seconds, it's really burning.
So.
And no candles around the Christmas trees, live or fake.
That's
live
a good
point. Or artificial.
Yeah.
No real candles around it.
And when, I guess, assuming your tree doesn't die at the top and you can get to Christmas, especially if it is drying out, as soon as Christmas is over, and if as hard as it might be to part with that tree, if you've got a real tree, get it outside as soon as you can.
Yeah, when you bring that tree in your house, you're committing to watering it until you get it outside after Christmas. There have been instances where people water their tree to Christmas, it's nice and green, and then after Christmas they stop watering it because they don't need it to be super nice and green anymore, but they keep using the lights on it, and that's when fires happen too. So
I guess the other thing too is when you're putting lights on, and when you're we talked earlier about just adding to lights, and to keep doing that and having that on the tree, or you've got the cords and they're on the floor, and people are walking over them.
Over top of them, they'll break the wire. They can break a wire inside of it, and your lights aren't working, and you're moving the wires, and the lights are blinking on and off. You have a broken light. Let's get a new one.
Yeah. And I guess that is the other thing, too, because a lot of times during the holidays, in the midst of them, you'll have lights start going out. Instead of trying to, at some point, maybe just take that strand off,
Get a new strand. People don't realize the plugging and unplugging of the lights creates, like, you're creating damage each time you plug and unplug that light. So you know it's very loose. Electric tape or tape around the electrical socket to keep it together so it maintains a connection is not a good thing.
But you see that a lot of times, too.
You see it all the time. You know, the lights, the strand of lights might be 5 years old, but how many times have you unplugged it and plugged it back together.
I'm sure
over that time frame.
Yeah, I'm sure over the course of the year, Ben, years, Ben, that you've been doing this, and when you've had to deal with holiday fires, you go in and you can almost guess what the problem is.
Well, there is no guessing to what the problem is.
No, right.
It's all science. We're not guessing what the cause of the fire is. Ultimately, yes, there have been several. I've worked several incidents where it's a result of a failure of the lights on the Christmas tree, or the dry Christmas tree, because like Katie mentioned earlier, we watered it up until Christmas, but we really want to keep it till after New Year's, but we're not going to water it.
Yeah,
but we're gonna keep the lights on it. I have seen several incidents where the Christmas tree caught on fire due to either broken wires on the lights or the dry Christmas tree, and the lights just heated up enough to cause ignition.
And we really do want you to have fun over the holidays. That's why we do
Yes.
Well, that's why we want to do this show. Yeah. You can have fun and you can have and a wonderful
safe,
tree.
Be safe while we're doing it.
But there are things that are just easy. You just make a mistake on one of these things, and you know you're getting to know Ben Goldman and his friends.
Yes, sir. Yes, you will get to know me and my friends very well.
So it really can happen. And we talked earlier about you know, making sure you have a working smoke detector. Boy, this is the time you really want to make sure that you have tested that smoke detector and it works.
Yes.
Because if there's any kind of a problem, and that's, I guess, for a smoke detector, even a carbon monoxide.
Yeah. Both detectors. We just changed the time.
Yeah.
We just fell back an hour, right? We should have checked our smoke detectors in, replaced any battery ones that are still out there.
Yeah.
Eventually, those will be phased out. Now you're getting these 10-year sealed batteries that you can't change the batteries in. We know there's still battery-powered smoke detectors out there that you can replace the battery. A couple weekends ago was the time to take that smoke detector down, put a new battery in it, test it, make sure it's all still good to go.
But if you forgot, you can still do it.
You can still do it.
Yeah, you don't have to
wait. This is your little reminder from your friendly reminder from your local fire marshal.
The other thing, and you guys, we talked about this the last time, and I'm not very good at this, and you all are very good at every month putting something up on Facebook at the beginning of the month to say, test your smoke detector. That's a good thing, just to make sure it works.
Just to make sure it works.
Yes, if it beeps back at you, that's a good thing.
Yeah. But if it doesn't, then, and they're not expensive, or if you've got questions, contact Fire and Rescue, because you put a lot of great things, Katie, on Facebook and social media about these things. But if you do have a question or something doesn't look right,
we're happy to
call us. We'll come visit you. We'll be happy to come visit you and walk you through the process of changing your battery, testing it, making sure you have a good plan.
It's much better to have you come visit me when the lights aren't on your vehicle and you're just coming up
at a time of your choosing.
Time of your choosing and not our choosing, right?
Yes. Quick break, we'll wrap it up. Good stuff this morning as we talk about fire safety during the holidays with Ben Goldman, Deputy Fire Chief of Stafford County, and Katie Brady, the Public Information Officer with Stafford Fire and Rescue. We'll conclude on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Katie Brady, Ben Goldman here this morning from Stafford Fire and Rescue. Before we get out of here, space eaters, Katie. That's another thing that's hanging out there this time of year. It's cold.
Yeah, all of a sudden, winter showed up. And I heard it may be a little bit of a cold one this year.
That's
and maybe some snow. So if you're using space heaters or some sort of alternative heat to heat your home, especially with space heaters, make sure There's a key word there, and it's space. We don't want to be having those space heaters right up against curtains or couches or beds or blankets, things that can burn combustibles. You want to make sure you put it out in the middle of the room. Make sure that space can, or that heat can actually have space to go out, and you don't have things right up against it. And when you're not in the room, turn that space heater off, just like all the other things we've talked about today. If you're out playing in the snow and you come inside, you don't want to drape your jackets and snow pants and things over the space heater. Again, that's not giving it room for that heat to actually get out. You want to make sure you're plugging that space heater directly into the wall, not into, you know, a whole daisy chain of extension cords. They need to go be plugged directly into the wall.
The other thing, and this happens all the time, not just the holidays, but especially during the winter when someone will take the ashes out of the fireplace, put them out on the deck for the night, and just say, "We'll just get this out of the house and we'll put it on the deck." And there's still are embers.
And they did that in a cardboard box or a plastic bucket.
Plastic bucket, yes.
Definitely, like, clean your fire. You need to clean your fireplaces out. Metal bucket, and don't store it on your deck. Get it away from your house. Stick it somewhere where, if it does catch on fire, because those embers are still hot, it'd be hot 3 or 4 days later. You could have a hot ember inside there. So stick it out away from the house where, if something does happen, it doesn't spread to your house.
Oh, I've seen so many pictures of
Don't use the plastic bucket or the cardboard box. We don't want you to do that.
A metal bucket.
Metal bucket. If you're gonna have a fireplace, make sure you have your metal bucket with your metal tools, your little metal shovel, things like that.
All comes back to, again, the old phrase, not paying attention. All of these things, even when you're setting things up, if you haven't started decorating yet, pay attention to all these things. If something's gotten old or looks frayed, or, you know, is this a good place for this?
And make sure you get your fire, if you're gonna be using your fireplace, make sure you're getting it inspected. Make sure you don't have that buildup of creosote before you regularly start using it. When you're having a fire in your fireplace, that's not the time you want to learn that you have a crack in your fireplace or you have that buildup of creosote, things like that. So make sure you have it inspected ahead of time.
And like we said, about have a fire extinguisher in your house, maybe have a few, but make sure that they're charged up, ready to go, and then you know how to use it.
Mm-hmm. The instructions are on the side of how to use the fire extinguisher. Take time now, when it's not an emergency, to just look it over. When you're trying to use it in a fire, is not the time to be reading the instructions to figure out how to use it.
PASS. Remember the acronym PASS. Pick your fire extinguisher, pull your pin, aim, and squeeze.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, thank you both. This is just...
Oh, squeeze and sweep. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was thinking the letters didn't work, but I thought...
Pull the pin, P.
Yeah.
A is aim.
Aim the nozzle.
Aim the nozzle.
Yeah.
And then squeeze the handle. And sweep for the finalists.
Ben Goldman, Katie Brady, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.